I would like to start by reading three verses from a very well-known psalm. And it says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. We are living in days, in times, in generations in which many people are seeking for an identity. And of course, there is nothing wrong about seeking your identity. There is nothing wrong about that. But we are living in those days in which people are looking, who am I? Especially in Western Europe, religion in a very general way has come down quite a bit. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, almost everybody in this country went to a church. Ever since the 70s, it has dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. And we see the result of it. People are looking for an identity. People are looking for, who am I? On another level, we also see doctors and psychologists. A lot of them are doing overtime. People are struggling. People have issues. People deal with traumas. People deal with things from the past. Brothers and sisters, may I suggest this morning that this is our identity. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That is our identity. That is our, when Paul says in 2 Corinthians, all things have become new. Yes, really, all things have become new for the dedicated believer in Jesus Christ. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That is our new identity. No fear. God is our refuge. As was said this morning in our Bible study, we do not only have to look into ourselves. We can look outside ourselves. We can look at the creator of this world. We can look at the sustainer of this world and say, he is our strength. He is our refuge. He is a very present help in trouble, and therefore we will not fear. Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as Pascal read with us, that will be where we will be spending some time this morning. The Apostle Paul says this: and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my strength is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brothers and sisters, identity. This is our identity. I take pleasure in infirmities. We're living in a world in which psychology has almost reached a point that it almost seems sometimes, do you want to get rid of your issues? Come to me and you can get rid of your issues. Is that really the case? And the answer is no. You might find a better place to deal with your issues and your infirmities. But those things will never really leave you because they are a part of who you are. They are a part of your history. They are a part of your life. But brothers and sisters, we are the ones of which we can say again, all things have become new. Everything has become new for the true, dedicated believer in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul, and so by way of encouragement this morning, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. What about you? Do you take pleasure in infirmities? In needs? In persecutions? Do you take pleasure in them? In distresses? For his sake, for Christ's sake. That's the question that we asked this morning. What about you? What about me? What is your identity? Do you really know who you are in Christ Jesus? We look at the first couple of verses of chapter 12 and we see that the Apostle Paul says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, for he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. If such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. When we listen to the Apostle Paul had something to say. The Apostle Paul was called by Jesus Christ himself. Can you imagine? You go to Damascus. You're on your way to put Christians into the hands of those that could kill them. You're on your way. You're ready to go. And then you hear the voice of Jesus. Who are you persecuting? Paul was a very special man. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? We read the book of Romans, chapter 1, all the way through chapter 16. We read the other epistles of Paul. It was all given to Paul by inspiration and to the other apostles as well. Can you imagine being called by Jesus personally? And then having been guided into all the letters of what we know as the New Testament, the word revelation comes from the word apocalyptis, and it basically means a laying bare, a making naked, a disclosure of truth. And that, of course, is what happened to Paul. All truth, or at least a good part of it, was known to the Apostle Paul, and it was written down by him. And so the Apostle Paul was a wonderful man. In that sense, that all revelation was given to him, and a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. But now the Apostle Paul says, I have a thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn in the flesh? We can be short and we can be long about it. We don't really know. Some have suggested it was his eyesight, because in the book of Galatians it says, if you could, you would pluck out your eyes for me. Some have said it was the threat of false apostles. We don't really know. Was it his speech? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, it makes mention of his speech, that it was not the greatest kind of speaker. We don't know. What we do know is this. A thorn in the flesh, that word thorn comes from a Greek word, skolops, and it means a pointed piece of wood. Ever had a splinter in your hand? Or in your toe? Or somewhere else? You know what that feels like, right? You want to get it out of there as quick as you can, because if it's in your foot, with every movement you feel it. When it's in your hand, with every movement of your hand you feel it. That's the concept of a thorn in the flesh, a pointed piece of wood. For those of you that might have stepped into a nail at some point, the nail goes to the bottom of your shoe, it goes into your feet. Ouch, that hurts. The first thing you want to do is get rid of it. And so the Apostle Paul says, I have a thorn in the flesh. There is something in my life that keeps on bothering me, or that keeps on hurting me, or this keeps on limiting me in some degree. And again, we do not know what it was. Brothers and sisters, I could go around the room this morning and say and ask the question, is there anything in your life that hurts like a splinter? In other words, something that hurts continually and you simply do not know why? You are faithful to God. You are faithful to your brothers and sisters. You are like Job, trying to stay away from evil, and yet something is going on in your life and you simply do not know why. What is your thorn in the flesh? What is yours? When we look at this verse, when we look at this text, another question we want to ask is, what was the reason for the thorn in the flesh? According to the text, it says it is an angel of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. The word harass, or at least in some of our translations, comes from a Greek word, and that means to strike with the fist. That is what it is. And we can see that close connection again to that splinter. We can see again the close connection to the nail that comes through the foot of your shoe. It is a continual hurt. It is a continual pain. It is a striking with the fist. It hurts you. Give one a blow with the fist. To maltreat. To treat with violence and contumely. Maltreat. Malware. You've heard about malware, right? For those of you that are in ICT, malware is something that gets into your computer, tries to stop all your programs, tries to stop malware, maltreat. It was an angel of Satan. And Paul says, as we know, three times I prayed. And what does that mean? I believe it means there was intensity in his prayer. We read about Jesus in the garden praying three times. So the three times, I believe when we look at scripture, we can say that that means intensity. That means, as Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. And a second time, and a third time. He prayed it three times. Paul prayed it three times that it might depart. And yet, God says there is a higher purpose. There is a higher purpose to all of those things. God said to Paul, you need to understand something. Great revelations have been given to you. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. That was the reason. Paul had great revelations. Paul met Jesus on the road. Paul had all the, or at least a good part of the New Testament, brought into himself, and he wrote it down. Lest I be exalted above measure. And you know, that is something. Pride is something that is always right around the corner. We might do great things in life. Some of us become ICT experts. Other ones become banking experts. Other ones become experts in law. Other people become expert in truck driving. Other people become experts in, and you name it. And you know what? There is always a danger of pride. There is always a danger to see, look at what I am doing. Look at my house. Look at my car. Look at my family. Look at this. Look at this. Look at that. Pride is always around the corner. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us about the six things that God hates. Yes, seven things are an abomination to him. A proud look is the first one. When you look at Matthew chapter 5, the first one is, blessed are the
peacemakers.
No. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of God. Pride is a big danger to each one of us. Brothers and sisters, a thorn in the flesh will keep you humble. A thorn in the flesh will keep you on your two feet, as they sometimes say. A thorn in the flesh will keep you where you need to be. And that is what Paul needed as well. And that is what we sometimes need also. And so, what is God's answer? My grace is sufficient for you. Because my power is made perfect in weakness. And so, when you look back at Psalms chapter 46, we read it again, Psalms chapter 46, because it helps us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And so, when we look at that phrase, when we look at these words, we see God has a desire. God has a desire to show himself in your life. Amen. That is what God's desire is. To show himself in your life. And that is why God knows that we sometimes need a thorn in the flesh to keep us humble. To know where our strength is truly coming from. Because there is always that danger around the corner that says, look at what I did in my life. God says, it's not about you, it's about me. God wants to show his powers in our lives. And how is it done? One of the ways that it is done, that is through thorns in the flesh. And so Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more in my weakness. And again, we ask the question. It is a thorny question. It is a difficult question. It is a tough question. But we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and we ask ourselves, do you take joy when infirmities come? Do you take joy when persecutions come?
No.
Do you take joy when needs come and distresses for Christ's sake? And the answer should be yes. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that easily. We are living in a pretty good country. I've never had one day without food. I never had one day without shelter. I never had one day without clothing. So I say, with due respect, in due love, in due brotherhood, brothers and sisters, we can learn something from the Apostle Paul. There's an important word that is used in verse 9. In verse 9 it says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The word strength. Do you know where that word comes from? What the Greek word is for strength? Does anybody know? The word is translated from the Greek word dynamis. Does that ring a bell? When you say dynamis, it's related to the word dynamite. And what is dynamite? I don't have to tell you. Dynamite is explosive. It can take a mountain away. It can take a big flatgebouw. How do we call that? Apartment building. Psh, 2 minutes, it's gone. Less than 2 minutes. The Bible helps us to understand something even through all of these words. Brothers and sisters, there is dunamis in your heart. There is dunamis in your soul. There is dunamis in your might. There is dynamite in your heart, your soul, in your spirit, because of God. And so Paul says, or so God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect when you are weak. When is God able to show himself in the most explosive way? When things are down in our lives. Then he can show himself to be the greatest. And that is why Paul says again, I take pleasure in infirmities. The word pleasure means something that is good. To be well pleased with. Take pleasure in, to be favorable, inclined towards one. And so, in closing, what is your identity? We can say it again. Infirmities will come, right? Needs will come. Trials will come. Hardship will come. You talk to those that are older among us, and they will tell you it continues to come. Difficulties, infirmities, needs, trials. But these things do not define who we are. We are defined by our God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen.